calling us a derogatory name the whole time. And he held the sign up the whole. If I'd have said that name, everybody would have like been mad, right? So then people started coming up. What's that? you said it by way of an example. But anyway, so here it is, and this lady is like, you know, I mean, she's okay. She walks up and she sees this guy holds this sign up, and he's pointed towards us, and he's calling us a bunch of names, and it was a slang word for sodomy, basically, a sodomite. And she was telling him that, don't you think you could use something else? You could use a different name than that, and all this stuff. And she's, that's very offensive. And then the guy thought that, then some people walked by and they thought that that guy was with us. Like, come on, are you that? I mean, come on. Like, I'm going to let somebody call me that and point a sign at me and call me that. Like, I'm going to hire that guy to come with me. Here, come with me. I got accused of that on one of my videos. That video has like 8,000 hits on it now. That one with that guy standing on his head, downtown Minneapolis or downtown Northfield. Have you seen that video yet? This guy, he's nuts. He was standing on his head in front of me, and he stood and sat next to me. The first time, that was like the second time me and Russ went out to preach. The first time we went out, somebody tried to kick a football at Russ's head. The second time, this guy stands on his head. And he's got his legs, and he's just like, and he's standing there for like 10 minutes. I'm like, how does this guy do this? Devils, that's how he does it. But anyway, so this lady yesterday, she, you know, she starts railing and starts getting mad at us, and she really wanted us to know that she hated us more than she disliked that guy's sign, even though his sign was, you know, mean or whatever. It wasn't as bad as Jesus, you know. Right, Brother Paul? It wasn't as offensive as Jesus is, right? That's really what they're saying to you. It's not as offensive as Jesus. But anyway, it was an interesting day down there. Man, I'm going to tell you, devils came out from everywhere, brother. It was just unbelievable. Minneapolis, I couldn't believe it. Usually it's kind of, it can be kind of calm, so to speak. Not like super calm because there's a lot of activity. But usually people are just like, oh, whatever, and they walk by you. Not yesterday, man. I'm telling you what, they were engaging us like you wouldn't believe. And that guy kept bringing an audience to us. He had that sign, and everybody came. So I was like, you know, and I used him as an example, you know, in my sermon. I said, you know, you have the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and you have the Spirit of God, and you have the two contrasted right here. If you can see it, this is evidence right here that this book is real because it bothers him. If it was fake, he wouldn't care. It bothers him because it's real. That's right, it does. It bothers him because it's real. And that's the thing when I see things like that, it doesn't surprise me. Because I know that this book is real, and I know that offenses come, and I know that the devils are going to come out after you. You know, and you know what's amazing to me is all these devils can come out together. People that are, but they all have a desire to turn on us. Isn't it something when you see them all come together, like, well, I don't like that guy's sign. But after they all start talking, they all start chumming up, and then what do? They point a finger at you, and they hate you. It's just, yeah, it's unbelievable what kind of compact or concord those people can make together. It's absolutely amazing to see how that comes together so quickly. And I'm laughing because I know I have the victory. I know. It's right here. You know, I can have boldness in every area of my life because of this book and the authority of it. As long as I follow this, then I can have boldness in every area of my life. Whether it's my family, whether it's my marriage, whether it's my church, whether it's preaching, whatever it is, if you stand on this, then you have boldness. And you have it because of this book. Because God gave you His Spirit, and He gave you this book. You know, we have it. So, you know, we can speak with authority. You know, I'm not going to talk about this today, but you can pray with authority. What's that? No, this is fine. No, this is good. We can speak with authority. We can pray with authority. Do you understand that? You can boldly come before the. You know, the devil and his devil, they'll afflict you. The last thing the devil wants you to do is pray. Does not want you praying. Oh, if he can keep you from praying. Oh, I'm telling you, the weakness of the church today is a lack of prayer. It's because they don't pray. And the devil will distract you and keep you from prayer. Why? Because there's power in prayer. And he doesn't want you to have that power because he can't stick around when you have that power. Whatever area it is in your life, if you need boldness from God, then you pray. And he gives boldness. He gives boldness when you pray. Amen. Some people don't understand it when a man has boldness, so they don't get it. They don't like it. They don't like that boldness. They don't like when a father has that boldness. Or a husband has that boldness to stand. They don't like that. But you know what? The Bible is very clear about one thing. It says, "Ye shall tread serpents." That old wicked serpent, he's under my feet. That's what God said. What is that? Is that upon my power? No, it's upon the power of God. That's the promise of God. Why would we live in defeat when he's under our feet? He already promised that victory. But you got to come boldly before the throne of God. There's many adversaries. God has opened an effectual door, but there's many adversaries. There's two things I don't let people mess with. My family and this church. You will get the biggest Holy Ghost steamroller over you if you mess with my family or my church. My wife, my children. You will get the biggest steamrolling you've ever had in your life. Because those are two areas where I don't play games with. You touch my family, you touch what's mine, and you'll get it. You touch my wife, you'll get it. Those are areas of my life that I'm very firm on. I have no movement at all with that. I have none whatsoever, and I have no reservation about it at all whatsoever. It's called boldness. Boldness. Amen? It's called boldness. Okay, now turn your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're going to talk about the fact whether you follow the Christ that divides, because Christ divides. Contrary to popular preaching, Christ divides. Luke chapter 12. I love it when the truth is so evident in the Bible. And people, they war against that truth. They fight against it. But it's very simple and it's very easy and it's right there. He says here in Luke chapter 12, verse number 51, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division." Really? Division? What he said. "For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." That's very clear scripture, isn't it? You know, it seems like to me what the scriptures are saying is, hey, guess what? Your family's not going to like if you serve Christ. If you follow Christ, they're not always going to like it. To the degree that you follow Christ, they're not going to like it. You know, I never hear preaching on things like this. I really don't. Why? Because these aren't fun things to talk about. Because this is the truth. And everybody wants this peace, love, and hippie fake antichrist. And that's what is pushed today. That effeminate Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Bible. It's not the one found in the Scriptures. It's another Christ. It's another gospel. Jesus also said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." I want you to think about those words. What's the Greek say? I don't have it in English. It's right there. Go to the Greek. Oh, let's read it right in English. Amen. It's right there. No, that's pretty definite terms, isn't it? By the way, Jesus is revealing who's his and who's not here. Do you understand that? And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me. You look at that. Bear his cross and come after me. Cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. You know I'm going to have a lot of fun with that last part, don't you? I'm going to get to that in a little while, that dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, there's such a perverse look today about who the Jesus Christ of the Bible really is. We've covered much of that in The World Hates Christ and a few weeks ago, The God That Nobody Hates. If you haven't heard those, listen to those. Those will help you understand a lot of things. But you know, today we see that Christ divides. And some people act like I'm supposed to be shocked when people don't like what I preach. Like I'm just going to be like, oh, you mean you don't like it? You mean you disagree? You mean you're not in unity? It's okay. I get it. Because Christ divides. He divides. There's much talk in the world today about unity. You hear it everywhere. Oh, we just need to unify. We just all need to be one. I see it as we were driving through to go preach. We were picking up Luke. And we were in Rosemount. And they had this sign that one. One Rosemount. One. What is that telling you? Well, basically what they're telling you is just shut up and conform and follow along with the Antichrist. That's really what they're saying to you, okay? Follow along with the beast system, the one world movement. Follow along with it. Just follow. Don't stand out. Don't be different. Just follow along. You know, we hear much talk about the unity from the Roman Catholic papacy. The Pope met with the charismatics. Old Benny Hinn and Paula White. And then with Kenneth Copeland. That man's got a ton of demons in him. A ton of them. A lot of money and a lot of demons. Where the charismatics and the Pope's envoys said the Reformation is over. I watched the video. By the way, that guy died. The guy that brought Kenneth Copeland and all those people on live television, and he was an envoy from the Pope, and he was an ambassador for the Pope. That makes me sick. Anyway, that guy died. He died 3 weeks ago. He got in a motorcycle accident. He pronounced to all the world that the Reformation is over. If you understand, since the forming of the Reformation, the Jesuits have done nothing but try to counter the Counter-Reformation. They have tried everything. Now, you know, I understand the differences in Protestants, Baptists, and everything else. But the point is that the goal was to counter the Reformation. That's what the Jesuits were doing. That's what they've always done. They want to counter it. Because they want to bring everybody under. He said, well, listen, the Pope, everybody's got to come under the Pope. He's the Holy Father, and everybody's just got to agree with him. Just bow down to him and follow him. We all need to be unified, they say, and come together. And old Papa Lucifer himself, Pope Francis, wants to be the leader. He just told the atheists, he said, hey, listen, you can find a way to heaven around Jesus. He told them that, hey, there's another way. There's another way. Then he tells the Muslims that they have the same God and they're going to heaven. Hey, no, I'm not their judge. No, you're their father. Anyway, it's another story. He says, if Mary is not your mother and you say you're a Christian, then you're an orphan. just said that too. The only ones that he really will be mad at and hates is these old-fashioned Baptists and old-fashioned Protestants that know he's the devil's spawn. And he's twofold the child of hell. No truce with Rome. No truce.
Amen.
Spiritually, we take out that 66 caliber 1611 and blow him away with it. Or we take that gospel hammer and bash him over the brains with it. Or better yet, the best way to destroy it is to chop him to bits with the Bible like Samuel did to Agag the king and cut him off. You say, I don't like that. Well, listen, it's war, friend. Better keep not your knife back, your sword back from blood. Better cleave to that sword. There's a lot of people crying out unity. America needs to unite, they say. They want a new world order. They want a North American Union, just like the European Union. They want a one world government, one world religion. Make no mistake about it. It's all about the spiritual. I'm going to talk about that next hour, why I preach on politics. I'm going to talk about that because it's spiritual. But I'll save that for the next hour. A one-world government with a one-world religion is the cry. They want a leader to unite everyone. Be he God or be he man. They don't care who he is. They just want him. Now the Pope is uniting everyone under one spirit. And they don't care what the truth is. I remember watching a video on the Charismaniacs and they're... yeah, they're nuts. Yeah, once they get that devil in them, boy, I'll tell you what. It's only the power of God and cast that on. I believe it's with much fasting and prayer. Because once they get that charismatic tongue speaking in them, once they get that in them, you can't get it out of them. I mean, it's unbelievable. But see, they're uniting. Paul Crouch, I remember that guy? He was the head of TBN. He said, I don't care about all this doctrinal doo-doo. That's what he said. I don't care about all this doctrinal doo-doo. We just want your money. That's all we want. Yeah. Exodus 23:2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. See, everybody's crying peace and unity and unite and everything else. But you know what the Bible is saying? That's false. There is no unity without truth. The only way we can be unified is if we have the truth. Jesus said he came to cause division. He said he came to cause. He said, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. He is saying everyone supposes that I am coming for that peace. But I'm not. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, Matthew 10:34, but a sword. Sword. He said, I came to send a sword. That's the opposite of peace, by the way. You can have no peace unless you have the Prince of Peace. Unless you follow him. Unless you take up your cross and follow him. You can't take his cross. He already bore that one. You couldn't bear that one. But you can take up your cross and you can deny the flesh and you can follow him by his grace and his power. It's not by any works of righteousness, not by us, not by our power. My spiritual kingdom, Jesus said, and soldiers will not bring peace, but they will war against the God of this world. People wonder why. I was looking at a video this morning from Salem, Massachusetts. Boy, that's a rough place. That's a rough place to preach, brother. There's some old devils with strong dominion in that area, man. I mean, it is a rough, rough place. And I watched a man preach online, a pastor there, and man, he's just getting, I mean, these devils are coming out of everywhere, man. They're just mad and angry at him. And it's just a stronghold for witchcraft. But anyway... Yeah, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus said, because I will place my spirit in them and they will war against that spirit of Antichrist. They'll have my spirit and there'll be a constant battle. There'll be a constant war. There has to be. There will be no peace. Not until Jesus comes. But Christ's sword is not a physical one or physical war and conquering like that devil Constantine did, where he said he saw a flaming sword and he went to war. And he went and he killed people. No, that's not the war that we're in. We're in a war for men's souls. That's the war that we're in. Luke chapter 9, verse number 53, to show you that we're not in that war of physical war. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. Now, Lord, should we just call down fire from heaven and burn them all up? See, here all over right now, the media and everywhere else, you've got Christians that are screaming for the death of Muslims. Now, you have to put down wickedness wherever it is. I understand that. That has to be done. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is nothing more than a crusade. And I'm going to show you in the weeks to come what really is going on with this. But I'll give you a little hint and tell you this. They have a desire, the Pope has a desire to wipe out all those Muslims, a group and a sect of those, and he wants them all dead. But there's a reason he wants them all dead. There's a reason that this crusade has to go on. It's nothing more than a crusade. I'm also going to show you in a few weeks, I'm going to show you that Islam is a child of Rome. It came from Rome. It is an exact replica of Roman Catholicism. Same thing. Same thing. And I can prove it with fact upon fact, and I will, but not today. So I'll leave you something to think about there, okay? But our war is not that type. We're not in a crusade like that. That's not what we're about. Christ's kingdom is spiritual. He said, "If it wasn't, he said, then would my people fight? Then would my soldiers fight?" But it's a spiritual war. Once you understand everything in your life is about the spirit versus the flesh, in every area, I don't care if it's your family, your marriage, your home, your church, your relationship, whatever it is all spirit versus flesh. Everything. Everything. Every problem, every concern, every situation is spirit versus flesh. It is always a war between those two. And it will always be a war between those two until you're taken home. Always. And when you lose sight of that, then you get taken captive. And then you get caught up. You get caught up in things of this life and swayed. I just want to give you a hint about something. I feel like I have to. All right, listen to me. If you look at any of those videos about ISIS or anybody else, I want you to notice something about their clothing. I want you to notice about something about the way they stand. I want you to notice something about their brand new Toyota trucks that they're rolling through. Please notice something. Please wake up, okay? Where do crazy Arabs in the middle of the sand out there get brand new white Nikes? I mean, I want you just to think about some of these things, okay? Please stop being fooled, okay? Our own government is supporting this. Syrian rebels and others, they're supporting it. They're throwing $500 million, the last budget or so, out to this garbage. We set them up, we take them down. We set them up, we take them down. I'm telling you, folks, and I'm going to prove it, by the way, with their own stinking writings. I'm going to prove it to you. Because I'm tired of people falling for this. But most people won't even listen to the information. They'll just turn a blind eye to it and won't look at the actual information that's written right here. That these terrorist listen, people don't start terrorist organizations up out of nowhere and have millions of dollars and drive brand new Toyota trucks with brand new white Nikes. Standing like white dudes out there in the middle of the woods somewhere, I'm just telling you, Listen to me, okay? Just look. Try to study a little bit. Try to just look at things in reality. I mean, where do just a bunch of rogue dudes running around the sand, where do they find all these weapons? Do you understand how hard it is to get a hold of these weapons? Do you understand that somebody has to buy them for you? I realize there's a black market, but somebody's paying for these. And these are not like off-brand weapons that don't work, Brother Paul, okay? Look at the weapons they're using. They're not like cheap little, somebody put them together in the, you know, somewhere, and it's like redneck Arkansas weapons or something, okay? These are high-tech weapons that they're using. They're brand new Toyota vehicles. They're driving them around. They didn't just get them out of nowhere, okay? I'm sorry, okay? I got to move on. I know that's a rabbit trail. I can't help it. It just bugs me to death because people believe this stuff, and they're being fooled. We're paying for all this. Anyway, all right. But I should have saved that for the next hour when I'm really going to hammer that stuff. Anyway, okay. I got to keep moving. Jesus said this, that our weapons are not carnal but spiritual. We're not in this war of the world here. This war. Ours is a spiritual war. We're not into this. See, aren't you patriotic? Not really. Not what we would call patriotic. If you think I'm sending my son to go die for any of these Jesuits and world bankers and all these people, no, I'm not. I'm not sending my kid to die. So what's going to happen if you don't? I don't know. I guess we'll have to see, but I ain't sending my kid. I'll tell you that right now. I ain't doing it. I'll defend the homeland as much as I can. I'll defend my own home as much as I have to. And I'll defend you as much as I can. But if you think I'm going to go pound sand over there for anybody, you're nuts. And I ain't sending my kids to die over there for you either. It's wicked. It's wicked. It's nothing but a papal crusade is all it is. But anyway, I'll leave that there, and then all my enemies will say, why did you talk about that? Luke chapter 12, verse number 51. Jesus also said he would cause division in families. I want you to understand this because you need to understand this, okay? Because some of you have family members that gasp. They don't like what I say. They actually don't like what I preach. By the way, it's not one of you. It's like all of you. So it's okay. I'm okay with it. You know why I'm okay? Because Christ divides. That's why. Because he said it. He said he divides. Look what he said here in Luke 12:51 again. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He said he came to cause division. For some reason, we have it in our mind that if we take up our cross and follow Christ, that everybody's going to love it. They're going to be like, cool. Whoa. That's great, man. No, why won't they do that? Because your life rebukes theirs. That's right. Your life. Rebukes theirs. Matthew 10:35, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. You see that? I know. So when you thought that you had a problem with family or anything like that, would come, you thought that was just you, right? Like that was just like there was just a special persecution for you that Jesus. There was a part of the Bible that never spoke about your situation. No. See, this is what happens when you follow Christ. This is what happens. See, we live in this American bubble. Okay? This is like a fake wonderland right here, okay? Where, I mean, I mean that because it's not like that in other parts of the world. If you name Christ in other parts of the world, get out, don't ever come back, I never want to talk to you again, and you're lucky I don't chop your head off. And if we find you out on the street, we'll probably kill you. Get it? So stop whining about the little bit of persecution that you and I have here because somebody doesn't like what somebody says. People are dying over there for the faith. So what if your mommy doesn't like it? Big deal. My mom's in this church and I don't care if she likes it. Ask her. She'll tell you. You don't care. Ask my dad. Do I care, Dad? Nope. Amen. Well, you should. Why? No, I shouldn't. Because Christ divides. You say, preacher, why can you preach what you do? Come out so hard. Have all this opposition. Have many people hate you. And all these things. Why? Well, because Christ divides. That's why. And I just believe it. I believe that if I follow this book, somebody's going to get upset about it. I believe that if you follow this book, somebody's going to get mad at you. So you're going to have to put on your big boy britches, and you're going to take it. Okay? You're going to have to stand up and tell mom and dad what the truth is with respect and love, but you're going to tell them, hey, look, we're going to follow this. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, but I love Jesus. And I'm going to follow Him, and this is what the Lord's leading me to do. And then not care if everybody gets mad at you. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. Do you understand what that's? I mean, you get it, right? Of his own household. See, we have this Baptist Protestant type of America here, to where for a long time, so there's a lot of there's still a lot of acceptance in some ways of that truth, as far as like, okay, well, that's what they believe. It's still there because there's a remnant here. There's a strong remnant still here. So it's not like it is in other nations, but they're trying. They're trying to do it here. And the Antichrist is pushing forward. It's pushing forward, pushing forward, pushing forward. Variance. What does that mean? It means in disagreement, in a state of difference or want of agreement, in a state of dissension or controversy, the state of enmity. You mean Christ was telling me that my family members are not going to be in unity with me if I follow Christ according to the dictates of Scripture and my conscience? Yeah, that's what He's telling you. But I thought we were all Baptists. That don't matter. I know a lot of Baptists I wouldn't even stand next to. Good night. Bunch of apostates. Some of them are actually Baptists, but they used to be Baptists. They don't use the name. They do what they call Baptistic or whatever that means. But guys like, you have John MacArthur out there that's saying, oh, take the mark, it's cool, hey, it's no big deal. You just get forgiven for it. That's a very scary thing to say. Right? Now, he may think that, hey, everybody's going to be gone, so it doesn't matter, but I still wouldn't be telling people that. Would you tell people that are going to be here? What if your pre-tribulation rapture was real and you're gone, pre-trib? You just told everybody, and they watched your little video, you just told everybody, hey, take the mark. Let's get forgiven. Yeah, I think that's very dangerous speech. But that man has had he's had some solid teachings on some things. Charismatic movement, a few other things. I don't recommend him, but I mean, he's had some solid teaching on some things. But to say something like that is very dangerous. It's very dangerous to put that in somebody's mindset. That just take the mark, it's cool. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that no matter where I fell on that issue of prophecy. I'd be very careful about that. At variance. Do you understand that that's how God's people can live their lives and not have a breakdown every day? That's how a pastor can pastor and do the things. Why? Because people are not going to agree with you. That's how you can go out to the streets and preach, right? For years, Brother John, you can go out there and you can preach, and everybody's mad at you. I mean everybody. Everybody in the dog catcher. Even the dog catcher's mom is mad at you. Right? These people come out of nowhere mad at you. Or your next door neighbors don't like what you say. I don't like what they say either.